9:15?
What time? 9:15.
Okay.
Good evening and welcome to the kickoff shiurim for this academic year in the Basic Beverage Program. Just to let everybody know, Rav Schefter's regular shiur will begin each Thursday night at 9 o'clock, starting after the Yom Tovim. The schedule is that Salovsky's regular shiur meets at 9:15 each Wednesday night. Immediately following Rav Schefter's shiur this evening, Rav Salovsky will give his regular shiur also being the other Rosh Hashanah. And Tuesday night at 8:30 is the regular Rabbi Golda shiur in the parasha. The Kavod Gadol, Rav Schefter.
We have an institution of about Tokeya that one person blows the shofar and everybody's yotze. And this is mentioned in the Mishnah at the end of the third Perek in Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah says on Chof Tesem and Aleph, the last daf in the third Perek, that Mishenim B'chui B'dover Ein Emotia Sarabim Medechei Vosan. That if the Baal Tokeya is a Cheir Shoyt of the Kotten or a Nochri or an Isha, one is not obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of Tkiya Shofar, even though as an Ein Emotia the Yosef, the woman is going to get schar for blowing shofar, for listening to shofar, but she cannot blow shofar in order to be made to the others. Cheir Shoyt of the Kotten also, not B'chui B'dover. So there is an institution of a Baal Tokeya. What exactly, how does it work? What is it based on? Why can the Baal Tokeya be Motzi Yosef? We'll pay the rabbi, and the rabbi will shake the lulav, and he'll daven, and we'll go to work, whatever. We'll be busy all day long. The rabbi will do all the mitzvahs, and we'll appoint him as a shlich. So usually we assume that shlichus doesn't help the mitzvahs. So why does it help all of a sudden over here by Baal Tokeya? So the Avnei Nezer was the son of Avnei Nezer was a Chassidish Rebbe. His father was also a Chassidish Rebbe. So he had a correspondence with his brother after the father passed away. Already, the brother wrote to Avnei Nezer a letter that he heard from the father once that the Baal Tekev Motzi the other is based on the principle of Shomer Ka'ina. Just like one person recites Kiddush and Avdol and everybody else is Yotzei to pay attention, so too by Tkiya Shofar, if everybody pays attention, so they're all Yotzei based on the principle of Shomer Ka'ina. So the Avnei Nezer thinks that he must have heard wrong. Can't be, the father never said something, doesn't make any sense. After a few letters corresponding back and forth, he comes to the realization that that's what the father did say. So it does make sense. But first he thought it doesn't make any sense. He says, Shomer Ka'ina is only applicable when I'm paying attention to something that the other person says with words, with content. He says Kiddush, he says Elavdala. Anisha Meya. There's a machlekes Rashi and Tosis in Brochus and in Megillah. Do you apply Shomer Ka'ina if I don't understand? Someone's saying Kiddush, I don't understand Hebrew. So Rashi says, based on the Gemara Megillah, that you apply Shomer Ka'ina even though you don't understand. And Tosis disagrees. And Shulchan Aruch, they quote Tosis' opinion. If you don't understand, you don't say Shomer Ka'ina. That's what the Mishnah Brura writes. That in Europe, the women, a lot of the women were not educated. He wrote it before the Beit Anker movement began. So the women were not educated. So Bar Piyagos, and that they understood. Baruch HaTorah, Baruch HaZabrach, HaTorah, Hashem, HaKein, Melech HaOlam. Bar Piyagos, and we praise the Rebbeinu Shalom that he made wine. Okay, so more or less, the women understood that. Then you say Kiddush, Baruch HaTorah, Hashem, HaKein, Melech HaOlam, easy enough. Hashem Kiddushanu b'mitzvoyisa v'tzivanu, okay, that they understand. Then you say, Barot Tavonu. Barot Tavonu, that's Rosh Mal Shabbos Koshche. What do all the words mean over there? So the women who don't understand, so the Mishnah Berurah says, based on the Shulchan Aruch, they're not Yotze with Shomer Ka'ina. Shomer not only means you have to hear, if you're deaf, there's no Shomer, you have to understand. If you don't understand, it's not. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah recommends. This was a common practice in Lithuania by all the Mishnah Berurah meeting, that the husband would say Kiddush, and the wife would say Amen after Bar Piyagofim. Then husband says, second bracha of the Kiddush, Baruch Ado Hashem, L'kein Malach Ha'olam, Shekar Shadu V'Mitzvay Sov, V'Rat Zavanu, so from the word V'Rat Zavanu, that's the hard word. Shekar Shadu V'Mitzvay Sov, that everybody knows, that you always say, Shekar Shadu V'Mitzvay Sov. Starting from V'Rat Zavanu, the women would mutter along under their breath with the husband, and then till the last line, Baruch Ado Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbos, and Mekadesh is Kedush and Shabbos is Shabbos, Baruch Ado Hashem, you always say, so that they understood. So they would say Shomer Ka'ina for the Bar Piyagofim, for the beginning of the Kiddush, and for the end of the Kiddush they would say Shomer Ka'ina. And for the middle they didn't understand, so they would say along with the one who's reciting. So the Avnei Nezer assumes like that also. He says Shomer Ka'ina only makes sense if you're paying attention to somebody who's saying something with content, but he's making noise. He's blowing shofar and making noise. He's not saying anything. How can you say Shema Kaina? Shema Kaina means someone makes noise, and I pay attention is considered as if I make noise. Let's say when you clap hum. So what do you need? Everybody have his own grogger. Have one official person who'll be the, will announce in advance. Everyone should have a mind to be yotze with their grogger. And one person will make noise and everybody will be yotze. Shema Kaina. So you don't say Shema Kaina to make noise. You only say if he's saying something. See, here there's no words, there's no content. How can you say Shema Kaina? That's what he argues. He thinks that the institution of a Baal Tekeya is based on Shlichus. Shluchus Shlodim Kamas. Aye, but we normally don't make a Shlichus. I can't make a Shlichus to shake a lulav, to sit in Sukkot. So he kvetches a chilek. He explains why over here there is Shlichus, why over there there's no Shlichus. This is an expression that appears if you look in the Das, in the big Shulchan Aruch, the Shari Shuvah writes about Shlichus. A lot of Achranim assume. They write as if they're not going into the details, Shluchus Shlodim Kamas. But it sounds as if they're all assuming that the ability of the Baal Tekeya to be Moitzi, the whole Tzibur, is based on the Shlichus. Then after a little bit more of correspondence, Avnei Ezer backed out, and he finally sends a letter to the brother. It's printed in Avnei Ezer at the end of Chosh Mishpat. He has, doesn't have so many tshuvas on Chosh Mishpat, and at the end of Chosh Mishpat, he has another 100 miscellaneous letters on the variety of topics, on all Dalet Chalk and Shulchan Aruch, and Stam Chidush Torah Gemar. So he has these two letters there. So after a bit of correspondence, he finally gives in to his brother and he says, yes, the father must have said like you. And he proves that it's correct. It's based on Shema Kaina because the Gemara in Nizdaf, on Chof Tesam and Aleph, right after the Mishnah, the Gemara has a discussion of saying Kiddush on behalf of other people, of saying, Asher Kiddushan of the Mitzvah, Sevi Tzivan, Al Achilas Matzah, and Al Achilas Morah, to say a brach on behalf of someone else. So that's pure Shema Kaina. So you see that being mighty somebody else with the Tir Shofar is also based on Shema Kaina. It's all one sugya. Aye, but he's not saying anything. There's no content. There's no substance. He's just making noise. What do you do with his taina? So it could be, he doesn't discuss it. Could be that the teretz is a shtikal taina. What's Shema Kaina? I'm paying attention. He's not saying anything. There's no ideas. So it could be like Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, many marmakomis in the Gemara, that Tkiya Shofar is really a form of tefillah, that is to enhance the davening. We one of the tefillahs that's recorded in the Mishnah, we said, we have in the Siddur also, Tzorach Hayamcha Yisrael Merubim V'daitim Ktzora. We have many needs, and we don't even know how to formulate our needs. A lot of times a person thinks he's kalishing to marry this girl. That girl will be poison to him. She'll ruin his life. He's chalashing to learn in this yeshiva. That yeshiva, they'll bury him. That's terrible. He wants to go to this graduate school. He wants to get a job over here. What he wants is the worst thing. A lot of times people don't realize what's in their best interest, what's not. Rav Soloveitchik said several times in public that he was davening to the Rebbe Shlom very much. He shouldn't have to come to America. He wanted to stay behind in Europe with all the tzaddikim in Poland. What is he going to do now? He says, Amazel, the Rebbe Shlom didn't answer his prayers. He said, he would have been killed by the Nazis like everybody else. So he said, that's why we say in Shmak Aleinu Chus, Kabla Barachimu Mubarotzen, Eskilo Seinu, you should accept those tefillahs that make sense. Not everything that we ask for makes sense. So that's what the Tkir Shofar is all about. Tkir Shofar, you see from the Mishnah, it's like that, is to enhance the tefillah. We have a Gemara in Bava Metzia Perek HaZohav, where the Gemara says, Niyom Shukhar Beis HaMikdash Nina Lushari Tefillah. Based on the pasuk in Echad that it says, "Kam ki ezek v'ashaveya," saw some tefilosi. The prayers are no longer accepted today, like they used to be accepted as mancha beis hamikdash or yekayim, because the beis hamikdash is not only in the makom hakrovus hakarbonis, it's kibesi beis tefili kari l'chol hamin. It's the center when Moshe Hamelach, when he built the first beis hamikdash, he said everybody should daven those who live in chutz lars, ispala alecha derech haratzim, ispala alecha derech habayis hazeh. It's a din, and the Rambam is mashma, it's a din deraisa. The Rambam, beginning of Hilchas Tefillah, writes that there's an obligation to daven menator once a day, every day, and then he writes the Rabbanan when they changed it, and what they changed in the Tefillah. When he's describing what the Din D'Oraisa was, included in the Din D'Oraisa, you should daven Nochach HaMikdash, facing the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, the Beis HaMikdash, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu also, they had a daven facing the Mishkan. Obviously, the Beis HaMikdash was always a Mokum Tefillah. So the Gemara makes such a statement in the end of Perek HaZov, that Yom Shachar Beis HaMikdash Nin Alu Shari Tzila. The prayers are not accepted the way they used to be the Zman Sheh Beis HaMikdash Shai Kam. Then the Gemara says, nonetheless, Achal Pisha, Shari Tzila Ninolu, Shari Demois, Loi Ninolu. If the person davens with such intent and such seriousness that he brought to tears, not just putting on an act, he's talking brought to tears by the davening, so then that's a higher level of prayer, and Shari Demois, Loi Ninolu. The gates of that kind of prayer, that's always accepted, even Zman Sheh Beis HaMikdash Kam. So the Gemara says on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis that the blowing of Shofar Rosh Hashanah is like tears. The Chumash says Yom Tru Yalechem Umetargamin, and the Targum Onkelos calls it Yom Yabava. Yabava means to cry, and the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Shoftim, Shiraz Dvaira, that Sisra's mother was sobbing by the window, Vatiyabei Veim Sisra Biarachalom. So the blowing of Shofar Rosh Hashanah is supposed to represent crying. What do you mean crying? It means crying and davening. That's the form. The blowing of the shofar is supposed to elevate the tefillah on Rosh Hashanah to the level of tefillah sheyeshimo demois. So the even though we don't say any words, but there is a content, we're implying that the Ribbono Shel Olam should take care of all of our needs, whatever they happen to be. He knows better than us the solution to our problems. We know, sometimes we don't even realize what the problems are. Sometimes we think that a problem is a solution, we think a solution is a problem. A lot of times we don't realize that there is a problem. A lot of times we realize there is a problem, we think that the best solution is marrying that girl and going to that school and getting a job over there and so on and so forth, and moving to this country and staying behind, and the solution is not the best solution under the circumstances. So the davening, the blowing of the shofar, it's not true what the Abdenezer wrote initially, that the blowing of the shofar is just making noise, making sound. No, there is content there. We don't spell anything out, but it is a tefillah, without any words, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take care of all of our needs. He should bless us with a good year. So that's what we assume, that the institution of the Baal Tekeah is really the same, is based on Shemei Kohen, the same as when some person says Kiddush Avdolah, and everybody else is Yotze with Shemei Kohen. You should have what? Yeah, that's what the tekiyas are all about. Yeah. The Gemara says that you have to, the Mishnah says on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, if a person finished davening, Misha Birech, it's showing up Gezok, the ganze Shmane Esre, Malchus, Chane Shofar, the whole Shmane Esre, V'achakach, Nisman Alo, Shofar, he gets a Shofar later, so then he still has to blow Shofar. So the Gemara is Medayik from the Mishnah, that's b'yedet, that's a chiddush. Even though really more correct would be that he should blow shofar tiyas al seder abrochus. And b'yedet, if he didn't have a shofar before he started to daven, then you're still obligated to blow shofar. So the Gemara says that there is an institution of tiyas al seder abrochus. In fact, Rashi's opinion seems to be throughout the Masechta and his commentary on Chumash and Parshas and more, that tiyas al seder abrochus is a din daraisa. The Gemara says in the end of the Masechta, there's different opinions, so the way we usually assume is that the Natar, one is obligated to blow tzkiyah, trua tzkiyah three times. But we don't know what a true is, so we blow many more times. Why tzkiyah, trua tzkiyah three times? So Rashi says, once for Malchus, once for Zechrinus, and once for Shofar. What do you mean, Malchus? The Ramban is Malchus, Zechrinus, Shofar, only with the Rabbanon. The whole davening is only with the Rabbanon. Rashi is explaining a din deraisa based on a din derabbanan. So the answer is Rashi shita seems to be the malchus of chayne shofar when it comes in conjunction with the tkiyas is deraisa. The tkiyas are for the purpose of enhancing the tefillah. At the end of malchus of chayne shofar, at the end of at the conclusion of each one of the three brachas in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, we have a bakosha. The layout of the Shmoneh Esrei is you have the gimel rishonis and the gimel achronis and the brachas and tzoyos. So the main part of the Shmoneh Esrei really all year long. The main part of the Shmoneh Esrei is the middle part, where we have the Bakasha Sarach and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of our needs. But it's not the Acheres just to come to the Baruch Hashem to say, I need Parnasa, I need children, I need a Shidduch, I need this, I need a Refuah, and thank you very much in Gabbat. No, you have to first, you have to give an introduction, the Sheva, you have to conclude with Hoidoya. Then in the middle, the Acheres dictates, you introduce yourself with Sheva, and you conclude with Hoidoya, Moedim. And then literally you have the Bakash and Sarachim, but that's essential to the tefillah. If the person has no needs, he's healthy, wealthy, wise, everything is going well, has no needs at all, doesn't feel that he's missing anything, no one in his community is missing anything, everybody has everything. So there's nothing to daven about, so there's no tefillah. Tefillah is only when the person is lacking something, when he needs something. So even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when we, the Chachamim say, we leave out all the little brachas, the brachas and tzoyes, you leave out the brachas and tzoyes, but the brachas that we say on Shabbos also have bakashas terachim. That's what Moshe Feinstein points out. The essence of the davening is the bakashas terachim. So on Shabbos and Yom Tov, if you leave out the middle 13 brachas, where do you have the bakashas terachim? So he says the concluding paragraph on every Shabbos and Yom Tov always has the bakashas terachim. Every Shabbos we say, Lekeinu Kevaseinu, Etzebim Luchaseinu, we accept our observance of the Shabbos, Kachemu B'mitzvei Secha, sanctifies with mitzvahs. It's a different kind of Akasha Sarachim. It's not Sarachim Gashmiim, Parnosim, Shiduch Menis, it's Sarachim Ruchnim, Kachemu B'mitzvei Secha, Mesech Hakeinu B'mitzvei Secha, and so on. And the same is true on Yom Tov, we say, Hasiyenu Shem Hakeinu, Spirit Hasmarach Decha, L'chaim Al-Shom, Simcha L'Sosim, it's also Akasha Sarachim. It's not the same Sarachim that we ask for in the middle of the week. It's Ruchni Yizdikat Sarachim. So the same is true on Rosh Hashanah, the Malchus, Uchanis, and Shoifreis. After all the Pesukim, after everything is all said and done, the concluding paragraph of the Malchus, the concluding paragraph of the Zechrinis, and the concluding paragraph of the Shoifreis have the Bakash of Sarachim, has the punchline. The concluding paragraph of Malchus, it's not a personal Sarach, it's the Rebbeinu Shalom's Sarach. We're praying for the whole world. Then Zechariah says, "Lekeinu, okay, we're saying Zechariah is the current table of Anecha, etc." That's the Bakash of the Rachim. Then Shoifer says, "Lekeinu, we're saying Kav Shoifer God Lechay Vaseinu, etc." So there is Bakash of the Rachim. The purpose of the Tkiyah Shoifer at the conclusion of each one of the three in the Malchus, Zechariah, and Shoifer is to elevate the level of the Tzila that it should be considered like a Zaoka. If you look in the Rambam holds that the obligation to daven once a day, every day, is minat Torah. But the Rambam has another din. The Ramban and the Sefer Mitzvahs disagrees with the Rambam. He thinks the Hochiyah Tefillah is only midirabbanon. There's no such thing that you're obligated to daven once a day, every day, minat Torah. The Ramban says only if there's a melchama, b'chisodom, melchama, b'yartzachem, if there's a tzoras hatzibur, a major shas tzorah, eis tzorah, so tefillah b'yeis tzorah, that's minat Torah. That the Ramban understands. The Rambam, who thinks that there's an obligation to daven minat Torah once a day, every day, also agrees though, when there is an eis tzorah, so there's a stronger chiyuv to daven. What means a stronger chiyuv? Davening anyway. So the Rambam says no. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Tainius, writes that there's a mitzvah says minat Torah, lizuk ol haria, al kol tzorah shalai tov al atzibah. It means not enough just to daven tzila. You should have za'aka. Za'aka means a tzila sheyesh ima demoes. A higher level of tefillah. And the Ramban writes that just like on a Tainit Tzibur, the Mishnah and Tainis records the practice that they had in Zmanat Tanoim, that when the Chazan would repeat the Shemoneh Esrei and the Tainit Tzibur, instead of just repeating the 18 brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei, it used to be 18 before they added on V'lam Al-Shinim, so they would add on an additional 6 brachas and add up to the sum total of 24 brachas, and they would blow Shofar after the conclusion of the 6 additional brachas on the Tainit Tzibur. So the Ramban says that that's a parallel to what we do on Rosh Hashanah. We blow shofar at the conclusion of Malchus, Chenes, and Shofar to elevate the level of those brachas that it shouldn't stand be a tefillah, should be a tefillah, be a tzorah. Should be, that's the fulfillment of mitzvah says, Elizah, Kolohariah, I'll call tzorah, shall I talk about the Rosh Hashanah is an eis tzorah for everybody. It's the Yom Adin. So that's for sure an eis tzorah. A tainus tzibur is when the guys are tainus because there's atzirus kshamim, or magefa, or some sickness or something, an epidemic. That's one kind of an eis tzorah. Every Rosh Hashanah is an eis tzorah because it's a Yom Adin. So the blowing of shofar, that's it. You can't shake a lulav in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. You shake a lulav in the middle of Hallel. It blends in together. The shaking the nanuim in the middle of the Hallel are a chelik of the hoidoyah. We're reciting Hallel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the farmer, when he used to be an agricultural society, so the farmer is dancing with the dalamine in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom to thank him that everything grew well. He had a good crop this year. So to shake a lulav in the middle of Hallel makes sense. It blends in and it enhances the Hallel of the Hoidoyah. To shake a lulav in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, even if you don't say a word, that would be a hefsek. What do you mean? What's he doing in other mitzvah in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? So to blow shofar in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei should also have been considered a hefsek. How come we blow shofar? The answer is, it's not a different mitzvah. It blends in, just like the Nanuim blends in with the Hallel. To enhance the Hallel, the farmer is thanking the Rebbeinu Shalom that he had a good crop, he had a bounty. So too, the Tkiyas in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz on Tainis Sibur And it's kicked in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz and Rosh Hashanah for the purpose of elevating the level of the Bakosha, the concluding paragraph in each one of the three brachas, the Malchus Chana Shofis, is the Bakosha Sarachim. That's a tefillah, that's a tchina. We're asking that the Rabbanu Shalom should see to it that he should be, he should demonstrate that he's the Melech Olam, the current level of Hanach, and so on. So the purpose of the Tzkiya Shofar is to elevate that to the level of a Z'okam. So that's why it's not a Hefzik, because the Tzkiya is blended in with the Brachas and the Shemana Esrei.
Yeah, like it's Pasenu. Zerin, Pasenu,
like a Hemshech, right? The Tzkiya is a Hemshech of the Tzvilah. Yeah, you see from the Gemara a lot. It's not a Drosha. You see from many dinim in the Gemara that that's the premise, that's the assumption. That the purpose of the tkiyas in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz is to enhance the tefillah. It's interesting, the Gemara comments on that Mishnah is Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. That one who had shayin geendik the davening, he davened Musaf because he didn't have a shayfar. And after they finish davening Musaf, then he gets a shayfar. He's still mechuyev to blow shayfar. Even though he's not going to have tefillahs, he's not going to have tkiyas al seder abrochas, he still has to blow shayfar afterwards. So the Gemara points out on Lamed Dalet Lamed Beis, the last Lamed Beis, the Mesitta ends on Lamed Hamed Aleph, the Gemara points out on Lamed Dalet Lamed Beis, time to have a shofar meikar. The reason why he blows after Musa because he didn't have a shofar in advance. But if he would have had a shofar before, more correct would be to blow the tzkiyas al seder habrachas. So Rashi's opinion several places in the Mesitta is that that's a din deraisa. The tzkiyas al seder habrachas is a din deraisa that the purpose of the tzkiyas min haTorah is to enhance the tefillah. It's a form of tefillah. But then the Gemara comments that that's only the tzibur. If a person is davening b'yichidus, even if he personally is a good Baal Tekeya, or he has a gabbai, a chassidish rebbe is davening b'yichidus and Rosh Hashanah, he has a gabbai, so he's going to be in the middle of the Shemani Esrei, he'll point in the machzor, and the gabbai will blow shofar. So the Gemara says you don't do that. It's only when you have tefillah the tzibur. There's even a chiluk ideas, we're all aware there's a chiluk ideas. When you daven in shul, do you blow sharp in the middle of tefillah b'lachash, or do you only blow sharp in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz? So there's a big thesis on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis that discusses anything there is to know about Tkiya Shofar. How long the Truah has to be, how long the Shvarim has to be, how long the Tkiya has to be, when you blow what, how many times you blow what, and so on. So thesis quotes a whole passage from the Sefer Ha'oruch. The Oruch was a Rishon who lived in the days of Rashi. Rashi quotes from the Oruch. Rashi corresponded with the Oruch. So the Oruch is the one who says that you blow tkiyas in tefillah b'lachash and a Chazaras HaShatz. And the Oruch is the source that we quote. It's before the Oruch, comes from the Gaonim, but the Taisus on the Daf, Lam Gimel Beis, quotes this from the Oruch that you blow Mea Koilos. That's the earlier than the Taisus is, the Tshuvas HaGadim have it like that. But when you learn Gemara with Taisus, this Taisus, Lam Gimel and Beis, quoting from the Oruch like that, that you blow Mea Koilos, Tekiya, Shvarim, Tekiya, three Koilos. Tekiya, Shvarim, Trua, Tekiya, four Koilos. So you add everything up, it's Mea Koilos. Taisus quotes in the name of the Oruch that the Mea Koilos, the way it says in our editions, on Lam Gimel and Beis, it says the Mea Koilos are reminiscent of the Mea Pe'ir is the Paya Imid de Sisra. The Gemara said that Yom Trua Yelachem is translated Yom Yabavo. It's a day on which we cry. We blow shofar in the form of crying. And how do you know that the word Yabavo means to cry? So the Gemara quoted from Shiraz Dvoira, from Shoftim, that Sisra was the general of the Goyisho army who was fighting against the Jewish people. And Yoel Eishes Chebrakeni chopped his head off. And there was a Yeshua for the Eden. The Nochem lost the war at that time. So it says, Sisra's mother was crying by the window why he didn't come back successful from the war. She didn't realize yet that her son was killed. So the expression, Batiyabei, the tears over there, in connection with Imid the Sisra. So the Oruch, the Reitashis quotes, it says that we should blow Mea Koilos altogether, Mea Koilos, reminiscent of Sisra's mother who was crying Mea Koilos. Why should we make a Zecha to Sisra's mother? She was a Marshas. She was crying over the fact that her son didn't come back. So, Ken Yov the Kol Evech Hashem. That's what Dvaira concluded. The Shira, Ken Yov the all the Nochem who start off in Eden should have such a Misa Mishunah, should have such a soft like Sisra had. So what are we crying along with Sisra's mother for? So, in the Yeshiva, in the Masgiach, the Chana Baruch, always used to hold the Drosha and Rosh Hashanah. What is this all about? Every year he gave a different suggestion, Al Derech HaMusa. Some point out, if you look in the Torah Shlema, he has a whole piece on this, he points out that in several of the earliest sources in the Tshuvas HaGoyim, they don't say that the Meir Koilos HaKeneged, the Meir sobs that Sisra's mother cried. What do we care about Sisra's mother? It's Keneged, the Meir sobs that Sora Yimeinu cried on the occasion of the Akedah. That when Sora heard, Rashi and Chumash quotes such a medrash, when Sora heard, Avraham Avinu one fine day disappears with Yitzchak and he goes away. And she didn't know what, Sora didn't know what's going on. So the Satan appeared to Sora and he told her what's going on, that your husband is slaughtering your only son because God told him to kill his son. So Sora was crying and she got a heart attack and she died. So Sora died on the occasion of the Akedah, and right after the Akedah it says, Parshas Chayisar. Akedah is at the end of Lech Lecha, then comes Chayisar. Then comes Chayisar. So that's what many of the earlier sources in the Tshuvas HaGoyim, they say that the Meir Koilos are not so much Keneged Sisra's mother crying, but it's rather Keneged Sora Imenu crying. Zecher Akedah. We do a lot of things on Rosh Hashanah, Zecher Akedah Sisra. Anyway, so getting back again, the institution of Baal Tekeah that he blows in everybody's Yotzeh is based on the principle of Shemeh Koinah. That's what it would appear in the Gemara. The Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Lamed Ches on the base raises the question, what if I say Kiddush and Abdullah and the other people didn't say Amen? If they answer Amen, so we have a klal in the Gemara Masech HaShavuos, Kol Ha'ayin Amen, Ki L'Hoisi Bracha Mipivdom. If he answers Amen, it's considered as if he himself said the Bracha. What if he hears Kiddush and Abdullah and he doesn't answer Amen? So the Gemara says, it's still good. Shomeya Ki'ayinah. Even if he doesn't answer Amen, if he just pays attention, it's considered as if he had said Amen. And Kol Hayin Amen, Kil Hayti Bracha Mitzitzam. So that's what we always say. That's how you hear the Megillah, we yotze with Shemeh Koina. Aye, but we didn't say Amen at the end of the Megillah. You don't have to say Amen. You hear Tkiyah Shoyt, you don't have to say Amen. If you pay attention to what someone else is saying, so it's considered as if we blew the Shoyt and as if we said all of those brachas and so on. That's questionable. You have to understand it also. Yeah, if you don't understand, probably the answering, according to Taisus, that Shemeh kind of doesn't apply if you don't understand, so it wouldn't help even if you say Amen. That's a question. Let's say someone says Kiddush, he mumbles all the words, and I can't hear anything. Let's say I'm deaf. He's screaming out loud, but I'm deaf. I can't hear. But when I see his lips stop, I say Amen. Would you say Kol Ha'ayin Amen Ki L'Hoytzi Baruch Mi Vivdom Mi without Shomeya?
Yes,
so Taisus raises the question on that Gemara, were they Yotze with the Bracha, or they just said Amen, but they're not being Yotze with the Chazaras Hashat. So there seem to be two opinions in Taisus. So the generally accepted opinion is no. Prima Gadim talks about it. The Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Prima Gadim based on the 2 days in Taisus there. The generally accepted opinion is that the Gemara says that they waved the flags in Alexandria and everybody knew what bracha they were up to, so they're permitted to say Amen. You're not allowed to say Amen if you don't know what bracha you're answering Amen to. You're permitted to say Amen if you do know, but you're not Yotzei because you still, basically, it's really dependent on Shomeya Koina. The answering Amen doesn't really help if you didn't have the Shmir. If you didn't understand, there's no Shmir. The bracha is lishmoa, so what do you need? Why do you have to say Shemeh Koina? That is considered as if I blew the shofar for myself. If the Rambam says the mitzvah is lishmoa, so I was Shomeya. So that's a question on the Rambam. Why the Rambam says that the mitzvah is lishmoa? And why we say the bracha lishmoa kol shofar? But basically the mitzvah is to blow also. So basically, has a whole tuple on this, what you have to blow and you have to hear at the same time. But basically, it is based on Shemeh Koinah. You have to both blow and hear. You need both. Not enough just to hear. You have to blow and to hear. Yeah, I have to read it. So Shemeh Koinah is considered as if I read it from the cloth, from the Megillah. And here it's considered as if I blew the shofar. Everybody has to blow shofar. It's considered as if I blew the shofar, right? And Parsha Zachar is based on Shemeh Koinah. Everybody hears. So it's considered as if we all made Parsha Zachar from a kosher Sefer Torah, right? That's all based on Shemeh Koinah. So here the Mishnah says on Chav Tesem and Aleph, So the Baal Tekeh has to be Mechuy B'dover. If he's not Mechuy B'dover, he's a Cheresh or a Kotten or an Isha or a Nochri, so they cannot, even though the best Baal Tekeh in town is the Nochri or the Isha, it's no good. If he's not Mechuy B'dover, it cannot be Moti as a Cheresh Medechoy Vos. So the Gemara raised the question, what do you do if the Baal Tekeh already blew in shul, and then he goes to the nursing home later on, he goes to the hospital to blow for the other people. He was ready, I'd say, he's no longer Mechuy B'dover. So how can it be moitzi the others idei chayvosam? So the Gemara says it's still okay. Aval tisha yotza moitzi, even though he was already yotzei, he can still be moitzi the others. And Rashi explains why, but bottom line is not mechuyav b'dover. So Rashi and all the Rishayim said because kol yisrael aregim zeh bazeh lemitzvos. That's where Rashi adds on. Kol yisrael aregim zeh bazeh lemitzvos. So the Avnei Nezer has another tshuva in a different place, where he points out the following. He raises an interesting shaila. Let's say the Baal Tekeh is going to blow in the hospital, and he's afraid he's going to hurt his eardrums. So he's going to put earplugs in, so he doesn't hear the noise. I don't know if that's possible. Possibly he won't hear anything? I don't know. So he raises the question, if I was ready yotzei in shul, and I'm blowing a second time for you, for the people at home, in the hospital, whatever, the old age home, so I don't need the second skis, I'm only blowing for them. So why do I have to hear? So there shouldn't be any problem if I put earplugs in. So he says, you see from the Gemara, mainly a Gemara in Brachas, he quotes, in the second parak. But you see from this Gemara also, the Pashim Pshat, that that's not the way it works. The Pshat is like this. When I blew Shofar in the morning in Shul, I was the Yotzei 95%. But I'm still not fully Yotzei. As long as there's one Jew left in New Zealand or in Alaska, wherever the furthest Jew in the world happens to live, as long as there's one Jew left who didn't hear Tzkiyah Shofar yet, so I was not fully yotzei. Kol Yisrael Aregim Zeh Bazeh LeMitzvos means I'm still called the Mechuyav B'Dover. I'm not fully yotzei Tzkiyah Shofar, so if I blow a second time just to be yotzei myself, so what am I gaining? I already heard Shofar and Shul. Either I blew Shofar and Shul or I heard Shofar and Shul, so what am I going to gain by blowing again a second time? But if by listening to Tzkiyas a second time, somehow I can help someone else, that they'll be Yotzei, so then I'm mechuyav to blow a second time and to hear the Tzkiyas myself. I'm mechuyav to blow Tzkiyas and to hear Tzkiyas all over again if this can help somebody else. So when I blow a second time to be Yotzei the others who didn't hear, Yotza Yotzei boils down to it's Shemeh Kaina. It's also Shemeh Kaina. Since I'm blowing Shofar and I'm being Yotzei and you're listening along, so you're yotzei along with me, but I have to hear the tzkiyas the second time. If I'm going to blow the second time only for you and not for me, I'm not going to hear. I'll put earplugs in, I won't hear anything. So then the other fellow's not yotzei either. The other one yotzei's on the second time that I'm blowing yotzei moitzei is because kol yisrael aregim zeh bazeh. I'm mechuyav to blow over and over and over again. I'm mechuyav to keep on blowing if this is going to help someone else. So I'm mechuyav to hear the tzkiyas the second time. But if I'm not going to hear it, then it's not going to work. So this is a very fascinating idea that we say, Kol Yisrael Aregim Zeh Bazeh. Even I heard Tzkiyas and I said Kiddush and I said Abdullah and I did all the mitzvahs. But as long as there's one Jew left in New Zealand who wasn't yet to the mitzvah, it sounds a little bit homiletic. Sounds like a rabbi would give a sermon in shul. But as long as there's one Jew left in the world somewhere who didn't fulfill the mitzvah, so I'm not fully yet. So there's an entertaining Shagazari has a comment. The Gemara says, oh, here, the end of the Perek, and Chof Tesem the base. The Gemara says, on Yotza Moitzi, so the Gemara tells a story, that one of the Rabbonim said Kiddush, and he started the meal, and then some of the guests came late, and they didn't know how to recite Kiddush. They didn't have Sidurim in the days of the Gemara, so you had to be a scholar to know how to say the Kiddush. So they didn't know how to say Kiddush, so he said Kiddush a second time. So the Rabbi said Kiddush a second time, and that's based on this principle, Afal Tishi Yotza Moitzi, to be Moitzi Achem Adechavos. So Rashi says, he said Kiddush a second time at Kadesh Yisrael B'Hazmanim. It was Kiddush on Yontif. It was Kiddush on Yontif. How did Rashi have the Ruach HaKadosh to know that it was Kiddush on Yontif? Maybe it was Kiddush on Shabbos. Because the story is quoted here, Maseches Rosh Hashanah. It means on Yontif. Who says? The Gemara talks about all kinds of things. We're trying to bring out an idea that Yotza Moitzi. So just like Yotza Moitzi about Kiddush, Yotza Moitzi about Tzkiyas. How did Rashi have the Ruach HaKadosh to know that it was Kiddush on Yom Tov, so the Shagasari is all fantastic tshuva. And he says that this whole Shtikol Torah, that as long as there's one Jew left in New Zealand who didn't hear Tkiyas yet, so I'm still mechuyev to blow shofar, if it's going to help them out, so if I'll blow a second time and I'll hear, and the other one will listen along at the same time, it'll be shevei kaina. He said, this is only apshekel. This doesn't work on the level of the right. This is apshekel midirabbana. So he says, it only works on the second day Yom Tov Zokta. On the first day Yom Tov, that's Tkiyas is there. I said, what do you mean about the kid's going to blow a second time? Based on such a pshat, he says, it doesn't work. Yatzah Maitzi only works on the Rabbanim. Ayin Gemara says it works on Kiddush. So that's why Rashi says, no, Kiddush on Yom Tov is only the Rabbanim. Gemara says, Kiddush on Shabbos is there. Kiddush on Yom Tov, the Rambam writes that Kiddush on Yom Tov is there. And the Magen Mishnah disagrees. Magen Mishnah says there are those who disagree, but the Rambam, they hold that Kiddush on Yom Tov is only the Rabbanim. So the Shagatai writes, he thinks that Rashi, on Chof Tessin and Days, Rashi holds like that Magen Mishnah, the Kiddush on Yom Tov is only the Rabbanim. That's why this chapter works. You can say Shemech, you can say Yotza Maitzi, only on a Mitzvah of the Rabbanim. On the level of the Raisa, he claims he can't say Yotza Maitzi. You mean if people daven there already? Right. Right. Okay. That's a point to dispute, right? The Mishnah Berurah quotes those who discuss it. And Chachina talks about it. When we daven a shul, if we want to, we could have been Yaitu Bikiddush B'Tfila. Do we assume that everybody has Kavana Shalol Lotus in the Tfila with the Kiddush in order to fulfill the mitzvah their eyes have Kiddush Alayayin where the Chachamim want us? Right? Or should I say no? That everybody was Yaitu the Kiddush their eyes when we daven and the reciting of the Kiddush Alayayin is purely only with the Rabbana. Right. Correct. Correct. So the Shagazariya is pushing like that. He says that he thinks that's Rashi Sheet. He has a difficult Rashi in Brochus. The Rashi in Brochus on Daf Mem Zayin seems to say that you wouldn't say Yotze Maitzi by Bichas HaMozen. Why not? So Tashi says, why not? Yotze Maitzi. So he says, Rashi holds because Bichas HaMozen is their Isa. Yotze Maitzi doesn't work by real din their Isa. It only works on the second day. And we don't, obviously we don't follow that opinion. We have the Baal Tekeh blow in the old age home in the hospital even on the first day Yantav. Not for the mayor koilas. He goes to the basic shloshim koilas. The kids are right, so we say yotzamoyts. We don't follow that shagasai. The pshat in the Rashi and Rosh Hashanah, the mepharshim say Rashi never meant it over there. They give a different interpretation. But that's the Gemara. This is the Gemara that seems to imply that the institution of the Baal Tekeh, the moitz of the tzibur, is not based on shlichas, rather based on shemeh koina, because the Gemara has the whole discussion of reciting Kiddush. Reciting Kiddush to be moitz of the others is similar to blowing shofar to be moitzi yad. It's all based on Shemei Koina. Yotza Moitzi is a step past Shemei Koina. At the end of the Mesichta, you have a machlokes satanoim in the last Mishnah. The last line in the last Mishnah. Alamed Gimel Amid Beis is the last Mishnah. There's a machlokes satanoim. Can the tzibur be yotzei, the davening on Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, the Malchus Chayim Shofar is, can they be yoytze with Shemei Koina from the Chazan? So you read the Gemara, it sounds as if, in principle, we should have said it cannot be yoytze. We really should have said no one's yoytze with Shemei Koina. And Rabbi Gamliel says, we allow the Chazan to be yoytze everybody, so that's an exception to the rule. Rabbi Gamliel is an exception to the rule because the davening on Musaf on Rosh Hashanah is complicated. You got to say so many psukim, malach v'chenas and shayfas, it's so long, once a year. Once a year, who's going to remember such a nusach hatfila? So Rabbi Gamliel says that we give everybody a break. So why is the assumption that you should svara hachitzayna should have been that you are yotze with Shemei Koina? Why do they all start off with the assumption, the basic assumption should have been that you're not yotze with Shemei Koina? And Rabbi Gamliel says that it's an exception to the rule. Why don't you start off by saying the rule is you do say Shemei Koina? So the Ran on the Rif quotes a passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi, that in Kol HaTarukula we allow Shemei Koina with three exceptions to the rule. So one is davening. Because davening, you're asking the Rebbeinu Shalom to take care of your needs. So if you have a need, go ask yourself, why should I ask for you? He's just going to sit there and I'm going to daven. He's going to shake, shuckle to it and cuff, and he's going to say, oh man, yes. If you have some, you need a shirach, you need a parnasa, you need something. So who asked the Rebbeinu Shalom? So one exception to the rule is davening. The second exception to the rule is Kriyashma. Kriyashma, the theme of Kriyashma is Kabbalah Samachu Shamayim. So what kind of business is that? I'm going to say the Kabbalah is not Shemaitre. He's going to shake his head. Maskim. Let me maskim. Say your own Kabbalah is not Maskim Shemaitre. Yerushalmi says the third exception to the rule is when you're eating food. Say the bracha before to say the bracha after. Yerushalmi says we don't permit Shemer Ka'ina. If you're eating the food yourself, so you should say the bracha yourself. You want to rely on me to say the bracha, so I'll eat your meal also. If you want to eat the meal yourself, so you should say, learn how to say your own bracha. That's what the Talmud Yerushalmi says. That these are the three exceptions to the rule. So the Gemara says, both with respect to the bracha Rishon and respect to the bracha Achrayna, the Gemara says you don't allow Shemekah. It's in the Babli also. We have Mishnayos and Gemaras like that in brachas. That we don't allow, I would do it all the time, say, Amoy Tilat Merot, and everybody eats. Isn't that based on Shemekah, isn't it? So you look in the Rambam, there's something funny. The Rambam, when he says, the Balabosh says, Amoy Tilat, and everybody's sitting, so the Mishnah says in Masechas Brachas, if Yoshvu, if everybody's sitting, everybody says the wrong bracha amoit. Hey Sebu, if they're all leaning in a reclining position, then echad mevarach l'kul. Only if hey Sebu. Tosfos points out that Bizman is there, nobody, which Meshuggah going to eat the Hesebu? On Pesach night we have to suffer to eat the Hesebu, Zecha, Hesias, Mitzrayim, whatever it is. But all year long nobody eats the Hesebu. So Tosfos says, Yeshiva didan, Hesebu the two. If everybody's sitting around the table, then one person can be moit to the other. Let's say the wife is coming in from the kitchen. She's just washing. Sometimes she's coming in. She didn't sit down yet. And the husband says, "I'm going to lach on her." So the Gemara says, "So she's not yet. You have to ask either has table or yeshiva did dam to say the two. Everybody has to be sitting at the table. You have to wait till every person sat down, and then you can invite the others. Why do you have to have has table? If you say shemei kaina, shemei kaina for kiddush and abdullah, you don't have to have has table. Why do you need all of a sudden has table?" So the answer is because the Yerushalmi is Mefurish in the Mishnah. When it comes to eating food, we don't permit, we don't allow Shemer Koinah. It's not based on Shemer Koinah. It's based on a different word. The Chachamim were mistaken if a group of people are eating, so the group only has to offer one Hamoitzi. It's sufficient if the whole group offers one Hamoitzi. So that's why there's an interesting line in the Rambam. The Rambam, at the beginning of Hilchos Brachos, in the Perek Aleph, he writes, whenever you hear a bracha from anybody, someone says Asher Yotzah, whatever, until it's done. So you should always say Amen. Fine. If you didn't say Amen, it's Mishnah. You're going to get one less piece of Lidyosin when you go to Olam HaBa. If you want to be Yotzah a bracha from someone else, more correct is you should answer Amen. Kol Ha'ayin Amen, Ki Lohotzi Bracha Mitziv Dam. Did the Eved, if it's Shomea, is Ka'ayin, Kol Ha'ayin Amen, etc. So you're also Yotzah. More correct is that you should say Amish. So the Rambam Shanov gives up the Perakalif and Ilchus Brachas. That's the rule. He doesn't keep on repeating it every time. When one person wants to be Yotzei Bracha from someone else, Mechatzchila should say Amen, but he evidently Yotzei without Amen. In a few places he does repeat it. By Hamoitzi at the beginning of the meal, by benching the Zuman, and by Chazaras Hashatz. Haloi Dovahu. Why does the Rambam mention over there the Miyuchad that you should say Amen? So the Briska, Medayek, from that Rambam, it would appear they quoted from Rabbi Avraham Soloveitchik. The Rav gave a Yartzeit Drash about this. Rabbi Malin has this on his own. Several others from that school of thought, from that school of reading Rambam. So they understood the Rambam to say that Ani Asomin is Leikubahi. When you say Kiddush and Abdullah, so you say Shemer Koine, Afal Pishaloy, Ano Amen, that's the Gemara Sukkah Daflam Ches. But by Hamoitzi Lechem in Ha'aretz, and everybody's listening, and by benching Mezumin, with Mana Gemara benching Mezumin, they didn't all bench. One person said the benching, and the others just paid attention, they said Amen. And by Chazar Sashad, by these three cases, it would appear from the way the Rambam writes, that Ani Asamin is Likuva. Why should Ani Asamin be Miak? Manishtan? Why should over here be Miak if usually it's not Miak? So the answer is because basically Shemer Kaina doesn't apply here. The Yerushalmi said that by eating food, both by the bracha before the bracha after, you don't allow Shemer Koinah. And by davening, we don't allow Shemer Koinah either. But we do allow. We say, Hamoit, everybody's there. No, the Mishnah says, Hey, Sebu, Echad Mevarach L'Kulam. If it's just Yoshvu, Kol Echad V'Yachad Mevarach L'Yatzmo. Hey, Sebu, Echad Mevarach L'Kulam. But Bizman Hazeh, Taisi says, Yeshiva Didan, can save it too, is Ginuk. But they have to be sitting by the table. So that's not based on Shemer Koinah. That's based on a different word. The Chabura offers one Hamoit. So it's only called the chabur if they're sitting together. They have to have a tziruch. So there's not atanoim that they used to sit neat the haseda. You need a tziruch of haseda. The man has said that that's not normal. So at least you need a tziruch of yeshiva. Yeshiva did not have haseda too. But if you don't even have yeshiva, then there's no tziruch at all. And when you have the tziruch, then you need audience participation by ani asamein to demonstrate that you're part of this chabur. If you don't have audience participation, then it's no good. It's not based on shemei kaine. That the Gemara says, "Achol pi shalayna ana amin" is also good. You don't apply shemei kaina to birchas hanenin. And the same is true regarding ben shemizuma. The Gemara says, "Shnayim sheachlu." The Gemara says, "In brachas and achulin, if two people ate bread, mitzvah lechalik." You can't have one person bench and the other person will say amen, because you don't say shemei kaina by benching, not by the bracha before food, not by the bracha after food. When you're benching mizuma, it's a different word. Could be that it's minat Torah. Could be it's min derabbanan. The whole chabura is only obligated to offer one brichas hamozin. So the whole chabura offers one brichas hamozin, and then on yasamin is likuva, the Rambam seems to hold. You have to have audience participation to be mitzaref you to the chabura, and you need daf kishlosh shoch lukachas. If they were a chabura when they were eating, stop. Three people, each one happens to be eating separately, then they look at each other and they realize, hey, here there are three Jews and we all ate. No, they can't bench mezumin. Mezumin is only if shlosh shloch l'kachas. Originally they said, let's go eat together. Let's say, these are chader ochel. We'll go eat on the same table. There's some shaykhas between them. If they have no shaykhas with each other, there's nothing in mezumin. You have to have dafket tziruf together. And the same is true regarding chazaras hashas. Yerushalmi said, one of the three exceptions to the rule was Kriyashma. You don't allow Shemei Kohen by Kriyashma. You should be Mekabel on Malchus Shamayim, each one on his own. And one was eating food. If you're eating the food yourself, so you should learn how to say the brachas on your own. So the Gemara says, the Mishnayos have the exception to the rule is, if he say Bo'echem Abrachal Lekulam, the whole Chabur is only obligated to offer one Hamoitzi and Ani Asomen Medin Yikuvah. And then by Ben Shemizuman is also Shlosh Shoch L'Kachas, the Chabur is obligated to offer one Brichas Hamazon, and the Rambam seems to write that the Ani Asamin is Likur. So the same seems to be true regarding the Chazaras Hashatz as well. The Chazaras Hashatz in Tfilah was one of the three exceptions to the rule that if you have some Tzarachim, you have to daven on your own. You have to ask the Rebbein Shlom in person for your needs. You don't have someone else ask on your behalf and go to with Shemekan. But what's the whole institution of Chazaras Hashatz? So the answer is, it's a tefillah satzibur. The tzibur offers one tefillah. There's, Rav Soloveitchik, the Chacham Lubavitcher used to say, there's two concepts, two different concepts. There's tefillah b'tzibur and tefillah satzibur. Tefillah b'tzibur is 10 people davening tefillah b'lacha simultaneously. That's what we call tefillah b'tzibur. Then the Chazan repeats the Shemon Esrei, that's tefillah satzibur. The tzibur is offering one tefillah on behalf of everybody. So since it's a tefillah satzibur, so that's why the Rambam seems to say that ani asamin is likuva. If you don't have the audience participation, then it's not considered the tefillah satzibur. That's what it would appear from the Rambam.
So in case of you're sitting in a simcha and all of a sudden five people strike your eye, the only seems to be that let's bench the zumin before we go out. And what the Rambam is saying, they should not be able to do that.
No, but we were all sitting together at the same table. No. Yeah, it's all the same chasana. Even separate tables. The Mishnah says even on separate tables that the Sarsen Roy Mailer is able. But we're all participating. We all came there to eat in the same dining hall. We're all eating in the same place. Not the same, let's say, if you have a luncheonette. And one guy runs in, he's eating a sandwich over there. The other guy's eating a sandwich over there. They have no shakas with each other. So then I'll be pashtus, he couldn't have a mizumin. It's not just to have mizumin.
Unless you said to each other, let's eat.
Okay. Unless they made up before they finished eating, let's all eat together. Okay.
And here's the angel of you
understand. Oh. So now the Gemara has a din, shnayim she'achlu, two people ate bread, there's no mizumin. So you don't allow shemei kainim, mitzvah lechalek. We insist. By kiddush, we don't say it's a mitzvah. Everybody in the household should say his own kiddush. Shemei Kohen is perfect. The only Gaon holds that it's preferable that one person should say Kiddush and everybody should be Yotze. The only Gaon holds against the Mechaber. That's better than having each person say Kiddush on his own.
You understand?
B'roi Vam Melech. If they all understand. Yeah. So he holds that the only Gaon writes in the Bi'er Avodah that B'roi Vam Melech is better than Mitzvah Bo Yosem. The B'shluch is better to have one person say the Kiddush and everybody should be Yotze. But by benching, Unless you have a mezuman, if you only have shnayim she'achlu, then you say mitzvah mechavi. It's a mitzvah that each one should bench on his own. So the Gemara says, what do you do if one is a scholar, he's a seifer, and the other one is a boor? He doesn't know how to bench. So what do you do? So he can't be yotze v'shenei koine. He has to say word for word after the other one. It's going to be very taxing. It's going to be very difficult for both of them. Hazan, hazan, hasa'olam, hazan. It's going to take forever. So the Gemara says, if one is a seifer and one is a boor, so then there's a kula. Seifer, mevarach, boor, yotze v'brachos. Then we do allow. If you have a seifer and a boor, he said, I'm aret, then we do allow shenei koine. But the Rishonim says, you don't allow. Why do you make an exception to the rule all of a sudden here? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Vilna Gaon and the Bir Avraham Shulchan Aruch. He says that this whole din of the Rishonim, that there are three cases where we don't allow Shemei Kainah by Kriya Shema and by eating food and by davening, the whole din of the Rishonim is only with the Rabbanim. On the level of the Raisa, he says Shemei Kainah on everything, even on Nisri. This whole din is only a Chumra with the Rabbanim. So if you have a Shas HaTzak, one is an Amoris, he doesn't know how to bench. So we're Mekel, so we're lenient on that. So that's what the Tanaim had a machlokes. What about Rosh Hashanah? So should we say that whoever doesn't know how to daven can be yotze with the Hazaras Hashas, like a sofer and a boor. Whoever knows how to daven has to say his own Shmona Esrei, but it's very hard to daven on Rosh Hashanah. Today it's not so hard, everybody has a machzor, but Bizman HaTanaim, it was quite a trick. They didn't have any machzorim. It wasn't permissible to write down the Nusach HaTfilah. They considered the Nusach HaTfilah like a chelik of the Torah Shabbat there, and at that time it wasn't yet permitted to write down the Torah Shabbat. Even after they allowed writing down the Mishnayos and the Gemara, they still didn't write down the Siddur till the days of the Gaonim, and then they didn't write down the Machzor till later. In the days of the Rishonim, already later, they wrote down the Machzor. So that's the Machlokes HaTanai. Maybe even a person who's all year long considered a Baki, maybe when it comes to the Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, maybe we should consider him as an Ein Baki. Because the davening is so long, so many brachas with so many psukim, it goes forever. So that's what the Gemara says, Mishum da afsha brachas, there's so many brachas, and there's so long, it's only once a year. Once a year, twice a year, the nusach ha-musach ha-Rosh Hashanah. So that's the machlokes. Rabbi Gamliel says, the same kula you have for a sofer boor, sofer mevarach boor yotze b'brachasai, so on Rosh Hashanah we treat everybody as a boor. Because it's too hard, you can't tax everybody, even the bikim, you can't tax them so much to say they have to learn how to say the whole Shmoneh Esrei. That's the machlokes ha-tanai. No. Doesn't discuss. That's the Tshuva HaRashbo has two opinions. The Sifra has a comment. It's Fratim Lachem. Shetetzfir L'chalecha V'yechot. So some Rishonim say that that's a din d'oraisa, that we don't allow Shemei Koine. But that's not me, Rishon. No. We have a Gemara in Brachis on Daf Chof. The Gemara has a Sofik whether the Mishnah says on Chof and Menalot that women are obligated to recite Birchas HaMozah. So the Gemara is not sure whether the obligation of women to recite Birchas HaMozah is that Minatur or is that Midrabbanan. Why should it only be Midrabbanan? So Rashi and Taisa give different suggestions. Why it's not a mitzvah sasesha as man grama. Why should the women not be obligated Minatur to recite Birchas HaMozah? So Rashi and Taisa give various suggestions because in the Birchas HaMozah you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nodeh Lecha Al Shenchalta L'Aviseinu Eretz Chen D'Toy V'Rechov, and the women basically not L'Chelek Baruch. Once in a while you had the nice tlofchad when there are no sons and the daughters get, but basically the women really didn't get. So maybe since the women are not, they're not mechuyav to say thank you for something that they never got. The Ribbono Shel Olam never gave them, so they don't have to say thank you. So one opinion is, Rashi says they don't have to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for Eretz Yisrael, and that's the stuffing. Maybe they're not mechuyav at all to bench. Or maybe since they have to say al briska shechasam to bivsarena, the women don't have ris milos, and they're not mechuyav to bench at all. The women are not mechuyav in Talmud Torah, and maybe they're not mechuyav in everything. But they have to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for having given us. Now we don't say it anymore. But when there was Malchus Beis Dovid, so that was considered a chelik of the din d'oraisa. You have to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for having given us Yerushalayim with Malchus Beis Dovid. So the women are not included in Malchus. Women are not supposed to get involved in politics and elections and these kind of things. That's what the Gemara says, whatever it means. So maybe since the women are part of from thanking the Ribbono Shel Olam giving us Malchus Beis Dovid, maybe they're part of from the whole bench. Sure. So the Gemara says, what's the nafkamina halacha l'maisa? Bottom line, what's the difference? The women are mechuyav to bench anyway. What's the difference whether they're mechuyav minatar or mechuyav midrabbanan? So the Gemara says, the difference will be, if her husband doesn't know how to bench, can she be mighty the husband? If she's mechuyav minatar, so mechuyav bedover, can be mighty others based on shemei kainah, yasa mighty, whatever. But if the women are only mechuyav midrabbanan, then she can't bench to be mighty the others. So Rabbi Kivegan, Daf Chof, asks the question, wait a minute. But you just said the women are potter from one line or the other, or the other, or the other, or the other. They're not muhiv to thank the Rebbeinu Shlom for getting Eretz, or they never got Eretz, or they're not muhiv to say, to thank him for Gan Brischa, Shechasam, Tufsina, they didn't get it. Al-Tarot, Shechasam, Maratona, they didn't get it. They're not to thank Malchus, Bezdav, Dam, the Shaykhus, with the politics. So there are one or two or three or four lines possibly they're not muhiv to say. So how can that be mighty the husband? That line for sure they're not muhiv. And the husband has to say that missing line. But Bekevega says, no, that's his upgirat, that's for sure. The Gemara Safik is the wife is going to say the whole benching, and when it comes to that line, the husband's going to have to say that line himself. She can't be mighty the husband on that line. She'll be mighty the husband 95% of the benching, and that line that for sure she's not mechuyev in, the Rashi, the Tesis, whatever one line she's not mechuyev in, the husband will say himself. So Rabbi Kevega is assuming simple shot in the Gemara that you say, Shemeh Kain on a half a bracha. I can say a half a bracha. And you'll say the other half of bracha, and we'll both be yotze the whole bracha. I know the first half of the bracha, you know the second half. The two of us together will be mighty to each other. You can say shemeh kain and half a bracha. So the achrenim I bothered with the kasha, there's a mishnah in brachas. The mishnah Bura says it usually comes up Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. If the chazan feels that he can't finish the Hazaras Hashat, he just can't, he loses his voice. Usually all year long, the davening is not so long, but Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur takes forever with all the piyutim. So if the chazan gets stuck in the middle, he can't finish, so the gabbai has to get someone else to take over. But he can't take over from the place where the first chazan left off. He has to go back to Tchilas HaBrocha Shetozeh, has to go back to the beginning of the bracha. And if it's Begimel Rishonah, if he didn't finish HaMelech HaKodesh yet, the Mishnah Berurah says usually happens on Rosh Hashanah, in the middle of the piyutim before HaMelech HaKodesh. All the piyutim are before HaMelech HaKodesh. He didn't finish the Gimel Rishonah, then the new chazan has to go back all the way back to the beginning. He gives you a break and says, you don't have to repeat all of the piyutim, but you got to repeat the nusach, the basic nusach of the Shemoneh Esrei. You have to go back to the beginning of the Gimel Rishonah. So and the same is true, the Gemara says, when you get to benching Mezumin. So the Gemara says, let's say you don't have one person who knows how to say the whole Mezumin by heart. So the Gemara says he can divide up the Mezumin to four people. One will say Til Azanus Hakol. The next one will say Noyde Lecha Ahoret Olamos. And the third one will say Rachim No. Whether we Rachim Vishalayim Mom. And the fourth one will say Atay Vamid. You can have a maximum of four people benching Mizun. They write that the Chafetz Chaim often did that. He was a Kohen, and they always mechabed him to bench Mizumin. And he personally always daven Nusach Hagro. So the Gro fans, they don't say Bainu Rachim of Yerushalayim Mom. They say Bainu Yerushalayim Mom. So the Chafetz Chaim didn't want everybody to know. He didn't want it to be obvious. So in order that it shouldn't be obvious, so when he finished Al Ha'aretz Al Amozen, when he started Rachim No, Al Yisrael Amecha, he would tap with his elbow his son-in-law, who would be sitting next to him. He should take over. So it wasn't obvious. No one thought there's anything strange. I never saw this. In the middle of the benching Mezumim, so the Chafetz Chaim said the first two brachas still Al Ha'aretz Al Amozen, he would tap the son-in-law, he should take over. And he would say, Rachim Noah and the last bracha. He didn't want everybody to know that he personally damas in Sahagroa. He says, Bani Rishalayim Omeh. So the Gemara has that such a statement. The second daf in Shlosh Shachlu, you can break up the Mezumin to four people, no more. Why can't you have more? If Rabbi Kevega shows from the Gemara that you can say Shemeh Kain on a half a bracha, so why can't you have 100 people? The bench Mezumin, each one will say one word. Each one will say one line in the bench, or the Chazaras Hashav. Why does the new Chazan have to go back to Tchilas HaBrocha Shetozeh? Or if it's the Gimel Rishani, he treat the Gimel Rishani says one unit, he has to go back to the very beginning. Say Shemeh Koin on the half a bracha, and everyone should be yotze. That's the kasha that all the Achrayim work on. So basically what the answer is, what we said before. When you're benching the Zuman, and when you're saying Chazaras Hashav, it's not based on Shemeh Koin. The Rishalmi says that benching and davening is an exception to the rule, but we don't allow Shemeh Koinah. It's based on a different word. The Chabura together is offering one davening, and the Chabura together is offering one Bichas HaMozen. And that's why from the Ramam it would appear that the Ani HaSomen is Likuba. You need the audience participation, otherwise they're not Mitzvah to the Chabura. So apparently that's what the Tanoim seem to have set up the system. When it's a Chabura offering one benching, a Chabura offering one Shemoneh Esrei, it has to go in units of a bracha. Shemeh Koin, you can say on a half a bracha. I'll say one word, he'll say one word. We'll all say one word in the right order, so we'll all be mighty to each other with Shemeh Koin. But Chazaras Hashatz and Ben Shemizumen is not based on Shemei Kainan. You have to have the Chabura should offer one Shemane Esrei, the Chabura should offer one Birchas Hamazon. So the Mishnayos and the Gemara say you can break it up in units of brachas. But if you're less than units of brachas, you can't break it up. Let me just close with this. The Baal HaMor writes an interesting comment. The Gemara has on the last daf in Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Daled on the days, that let's say a person has a machzor for Rosh Hashanah, it's missing a couple of pages. So he has Malchus, and Zacharias doesn't have the whole Shefer. So he has Zacharias and Shefer doesn't have the whole Malchus. So the Gemara says it would be a brachal of Atolah if he'll say what he knows. All the three brachas are Ma'akvizuizu. Malchus and Shefer are Ma'akvizuizu. So the Baal HaMor writes, when he was growing up as a child in Lunel, the people didn't have any machzor. He says when he was later, then the Goyim, then they started having, they could have been machzorim earlier all along also. But apparently they felt that there's no hefet to write down the Torah Shebaal Peh, so they used to daven Baal Peh. So he said the people, no one in the shul knew how to say Malchus Lein Shofet by heart. So everyone said a tefillah Shemoneh Esrei of seven brachas. Like we daven Meiris, in Shacharis and Mincha, only Musaf we say Malchus Lein Shofet. So that they could say. The first three brachas, the last three brachas, always the same. Middle part is also more or less Atav HaChatan, Titan Lon Shem Alkeinu, Yom HaZikar Nezeh, Yehal HaVyavav, Yom HaZikar Nezeh. Then at the end, you improvise a little bit, you say Achasim is a bracha for Rosh Hashanah. So he says, that's okay. So he says, everybody daven fila balachas, they all daven a fila of seven brachas. One bracha in the middle, even for Musaf. He said, that's okay. You can't say Malchus is the Chaynus without Shofet. You can't say the Chaynus Shofet without Malchus. You're not saying anything. You're not saying that Malchus is not the Chaynus without Shofet. You're just saying a tefillah of seven brachas. The Chazan would recite the Chazaras Hashatz. He would recite the Malchus the Chaynus Shofet, and everybody would be yotze with his davening. They were mamash ain't a baki. The people taka didn't know how to say. Like Rabbi Gamliel says, even one who's a baki all year long, but Rosh Hashanah the people don't know how to say Malchus the Chaynus Shofet. He writes when he was older, so then everybody got a machzor, and then everybody started davening on their own. Everybody said their own machzor and shofet. But he says he remembers, in the earlier years, the whole tzibur by the tefillah b'alach ha-shamus, the only said zayin brachas, and they had to be yotzei with the chazor ha-shashat, the whole machzor and shofet. Okay, I want to wish everybody a tzibur v'chsim. Okay, a good kiddush shiur. Not afraid of Rabbi Sobolovsky, even if he prepared the same thing that I'm going to say. If he'll hear that I said this, he'll say another shiur.